Hey y'all, hey, thank you all for joining me for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. You guys are in for a treat this evening because I have a very, you may see we're in a different location. We're out here at City Winery in Atlanta and I'm here with the one and the only Mr. Adrian Crutchfield.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So I'm gonna try to, y'all know me, y'all know I can be a little bit extra sometimes. I'm gonna try to keep it together because I'm already done kind of like probably embarrassed myself a little bit too much in his DMs, you know, and then I'm just all a little tingly feelings like, I wanna, you know, but we're gonna get through this because he is here for a show, an amazing show here tonight at City Winery, and we gotta get him up and out to perform and share some of that love to everybody.
Oh, we're gonna get it tonight.
So for those of you who don't know who this amazing person is, he is one of, I would say, the world's greatest saxophonists.
I'm gonna hire
jazz musicians.
I don't know what it is yet, but I'm gonna hire you to do something.
We're gonna keep on negotiating that. I tell you, we're gonna keep on, you know, I'm ready and willing. But one of the greatest I wouldn't even say my generation because I'm a little bit old, but your generation or the younger, you know, generation. But he's been around. Let me tell you, this man, y'all see I got on my purple. Mm-hmm. I got on my purple because I always got to give homage to the one and only.
That's right.
My, you know, I'm a widow. I still wear my ring. The one and only Prince, artist formerly known as.
Right.
He was the last saxophone player to play with Prince. Oh my God.
I still play for Prince.
Definitely. Yeah. You're playing in the heavy here.
Yeah, that'll never stop. I always play for Prince.
And I see.
People say, you know, you used to play for Prince or played for Prince, it'll never stop. I'll always play.
Always play for Prince. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I know you've also played. Mm-hmm. For and with some of the greats. She was on Dave Koz's tour.
Yes.
Come on.
I got to do the Dave Koz cruise the last 2 years. I'm going back this year. And I told Dave that the only way that he will get rid of me is with a restraining order. So I'm going to keep doing that as long as he'll have me. And it's been great.
Let me check my phone because I might be right up on that tour too. Well, you already said you're hiring me.
Yes.
So I can be right
but
there.
The Dave Koz cruises are always top of the line. They are amazing time. If you ever get a chance to do it, do it. It's different every time. We don't go to the same place every time.
Wow.
So it's just a great experience and great musicians and great people.
And he on a first name basis. I'm still like Dave Koz. He's like, yeah, I told Dave. He said it like it was just his own.
I started with Mr. Koz and he didn't like that. So I just started calling Dave.
Now catch this. Mm-hmm. Now I know Sheila E. was on one of the cruises. But not only Dave Koz, Sheila E., you have also played and performed with some of the great in R&B and hip hop from the Gap Band to Fantasia, Casey and JoJo, CeeLo Green. Y'all, and guess what? So, since I'm a widow now and everything, that left me open and available for some of my others. Mm-hmm. Outside of Prince, we got Will Smith, but you know, he married a Jada. But you know, they do their own, so you
they
know,
do,
they do their own.
So I'm still. You still got a shot.
But I think I'm a little bit, you know, when I looked, read his bio and looked at all his exes, I was a little bit too melanated.
Oh, okay.
For, you know, so, but I still, you know, I still got that out there. But we got, you know, Usher. We were talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's married again, but he's definitely
he's
in.
He's seeing somebody.
He's always in. Usher stay booed up. Then, but who we're talking about is the only Jewish grandfather who can get a little bit leg from Dr. O, almost 70 years old, gave him his first saxophone, the one and only my soon-to-be husband, Kenny G.
K. Kenny's almost 70. I didn't realize that.
Yes, he is almost 70. He's like 68 or something like that.
Well, he still got all his hair.
He does. So he still has
and
all
he's still hair. Doing it. And so I got my first saxophone from Kenny G when I was 4 years old.
So tell us about that, because I know the story or read the story that, you know, he was at a performance. He saw that you were really kind of into it, mm-hmm. and he called you up on stage, played a little kid song for you, and then gave you his sax.
So I'm from a small town in Virginia called Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's in the mountains. Used to be really pretty much a truck stop city. Mm-hmm. I hate to say mm-hmm. it like that, but it was a small town, you know, everybody's connected. I love my town. I'm Roanoke all day, every day. Two up, two down, Virginia. I was there, and at that time, my parents acquired floor seats to the Kenny G concert. And this is in like 89, 90. So Kenny G was at his prime.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to
go. You said acquired, that sound kind of, you know, skeptical. He didn't, now y'all, did y'all catch that, or was it just me? He didn't say they bought. 90.
Yeah, yeah, no.
They acquired.
They acquired. Because ain't nobody had money for floor seat tickets. So obviously, because it was last minute, they couldn't get a babysitter. And the convention center was gracious enough to just let me come.
So you wasn't even supposed to be.
No, I wasn't supposed to be there.
There. So it wasn't like, you know, your parents knew how big of a fan of Kenny G and you're the child prodigy.
I was always into music, but not like playing anything. My parents played records in the house.
Yeah.
So I loved Luther Vandross and Anita Baker and Grover Washington and that stuff. I just liked music. So they took me to the show, and because we were in floor seats and I was like on my dad's shoulders watching the show, you know, I imagine that Kenny thought it was strange to see a little kid at a jazz concert. So he kept walking past our area, and I kept seeing him looking at us, but I didn't know what he was doing. And he kept going back to the back and talking to somebody, and then coming back and then coming, you know. And eventually he just stopped and said, "I gotta stop. I can swear I see a kid out there at a jazz concert." And they they ran the spotlight until they found me, and he had my parents bring me to the stage. And he asked me a bunch of questions about if I liked saxophone, and I said yes, because to me it looked like a toy, you know. And so he played a little childish melody. I think it was like Mary Had a Little Lamb or Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah.
And then he gave me my first saxophone, and that's what started my whole journey as a musician.
Oh man.
And when you do that in a small town, you know, everybody knows about it. So it became almost like an omen. And from that point on, I was invited to every concert at the convention center. So I got to meet Karen White, and I got to meet MC Hammer, and I got to meet, I think I met New Edition at one point, some other people.
And you were just like like Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh yeah.
Running around here.
Smaller than Emmanuel Lewis. And I, you know, for me, it was really just about the showmanship and the lights, and it was like the circus. Mm-hmm. So I just really enjoyed the performance aspect. The music was there, but for me, it was all about the show. And so, and that's what kind of started my musical journey.
But I'm thinking, like, how cool was that probably even for your parents?
Yeah.
Because they're getting, because you can't go, you're 4 years old. Somebody got to take you.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to Karen White tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to go see MC Hammer.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the only way they were getting in. Because I was the guest, not them.
Exactly. But you had to be escorted.
Yeah, I had to be escorted.
Yeah.
So after that, it was like, I just went to all the shows, and it was great. Great early start, yeah.
Is that a dimple I noticed you have on both
dimples.
Sides?
I got dimples, yeah. Well, you got dimples too.
I have one big head one, so this is my good side, and then I have a lighter one on this side.
That's,
you know,
the way,
but I got
that's
it.
Way it's supposed to be, a deep one and a shallow one. That's the way it's supposed to
happen. So yeah. I'm always like, take it from this side.
Yeah.
You know, which one is my good side? So speaking of dimples, and I know you guys, y'all know me, y'all my folks, y'all know me, and I cannot bypass without speaking about how, y'all see how handsome this young man is? And he has dimples on top of that, and he plays saxophone. Can you just imagine laying in bed full of roses, you there in your lingerie, and here he comes. I mean, Listen, listen. So, with that being said, are you single, in a relationship, married?
Always single. I'm always single. It's, how do I explain this without sounding like a douchebag? Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
I travel a lot, and I went through my younger years. I went through my phase of being.
You went through your whole phase. That's what I was going to ask you next. Yeah, are you still in the whole phase?
I did that. As a musician, we all go through that. You know, it's just part of the gig. You get exposed to opportunity all the time. And
good way to say it.
It was fun, you know, but after a while, it becomes kind of redundant. And what I realized in my life is that the only thing that I'm really committed to is my career.
Mm-hmm.
And while I can respect it, I acknowledge that most women need to be committed to and they need to be a priority. And because of that, because I know that my career is always going to be first, I never want to put anybody in that position where we're going to fight.
But I wouldn't even say most women. I would say most people in general, both men and women.
If you don't want to be committed. But
if you're with someone.
Women.
well, let's make that clear. Yes, I agree.
I agree.
I was making it in general.
Yeah.
That's a general statement
that
anybody wants to. But we making it clear.
Yeah.
None of y'all, this is Atlanta.
But
we love
to each
everybody.
His own, to each his own. But for me personally, I'm...
All for the lickies.
Strictly chickly, and
no, you don't even. That sound too close. I do like it. Strictly chickly.
I'm all about the ladies, and my career is first. And until I can create what I like to think of as consistency, and as successful as I've been as a musician, and most musicians will understand this and appreciate this, it's very hard to create consistency and stability in this industry. And until I have that, I don't want kids. I don't want a significant other, because it would be unfair to them. And it's, you know, I'm always gone, and I'm constantly on stage somewhere randomly, and I do flirt when I'm on stage, because it's part of show the dimples and flirt.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
And so, you know, and a lot of people are very insecure about those things. And so instead of putting somebody through that, I just said, for now, I'm going to focus on building that stability. And then eventually maybe I'll be able to enjoy some of that instead of just providing the music for it.
That saxophone, isn't that how you know?
Good sax all night.
Yeah, good sax all night. I want to get me one of those hoodies.
Oh yeah.
I got to get me one of those from the merch table. See, that's what them dimples do. When you're flirting on stage, that's because we're sitting, you're going to buy my album, you're going to buy my sweat, all my merch is going
to
be gone.
I got college loans to pay off, so if you want, you can go on my site and buy some stuff too.
What's your site? Let's go ahead and plug that in.
Well,
right
there's two. There's www.adriancrutchfield.com. And if you have a hard time spelling my name, there's an easier one, and it's just www.ilovegoodsax.com.
We all love that, because we all love good sax.
Everybody loves good sax all night.
All night long. Cheers to that, man. So I know you did touch on something I want to kind of come back to, which was the insecurity and things of that nature. But what I did want to say is I do know that you are very active in your nieces and nephews' lives.
Yeah.
So I do see that. So you do have that paternal, I would say maternal, that paternal in you, energy in you is just not there.
I love children so much because I think children are the best example of us. Before we become us, children are they're the best representation of us. If there was a superior being coming to judge us, I would hope that they judge us by the children and not by us. Because, like I said, children
the innocence of the child.
The innocence of a child is everything. And I love my nieces, my nephews, my godchildren. And that's another part of it. That's why I don't want to be that father that's not there.
Yeah, the absentee.
And it breaks my heart when I can't be there with my my nieces and nephews and my godchildren, but they get it, you know?
Yeah.
But at least they have somebody there. I don't want to have my kid being like, whoa, everybody else has their, you know, parents around. And so, and I'm constantly, I mean, it's like, I can get a call and be gone within a few days. And
that's, okay.
So it's, everything's sporadic.
So do you live out of Roanoke? Is that where you're based
out of? No, I live in Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Charlotte. Oh, you're right around the corner.
Charlotte, North Carolina, Queen City.
That's only a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A couple of hours drive,
hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually grew up in Charlotte. So I moved to Charlotte when I was about 10 or 11 years old.
Okay.
And but Roanoke is still home. Charlotte's mm-hmm. like my home base.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
So you, how often are you on tour? Because I know you just mentioned that you can get a call in any moment, just a couple of days, hey, 3 days, we need you over here.
Yeah.
So how often are you out and on the road and on tour?
I would say 2.5 weeks out of the month, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. Out of the month?
Out of the month.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are some places that you have been to?
Whew. It's probably easier to name the ones I haven't been.
Okay.
I have not been to Greenland or Iceland or
New Zealand.
New Zealand. I haven't been in New Zealand. I've been in Australia.
Okay. Okay.
I haven't been to New Zealand yet. Yet. I'm going though.
We going.
I've been to North Africa, but I haven't been like really into the continent to see Africa. I really want to go to Africa. Anthony Hamilton, if you're listening, stop playing. You need horns for Africa next time you go.
And you need to come on Dr. Low After Dark as well.
You do, you do.
Adrian Saturday.
That's like my big bro, so I always call him out.
Oh, well, see.
Believe it or not, when I moved to Charlotte, Anthony Hamilton was my barber.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know Anthony Hamilton cut hair.
Yes, he did, he still does. Not publicly.
Yeah, not, yeah. You ain't gonna just walk in a barbershop sit in Anthony Hamilton's chair.
And we'll take care of you. If you're in his inner circle, he'll get you clean, get you right.
Oh, okay.
Shouts out to Anthony. That was the first person to take me on tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you went on your first tour with Anthony Hamilton?
I was 21. Yeah.
Right out of college? I know you went to FSU.
I was still in college.
You were still in college,
and
okay.
He took me on tour and then he found out that I had left school to do it, and he made me go back.
And get your back into school and finish that.
He made me go back to school, and I was heartbroken because I thought he's gonna give my gig away. But to this day, he's never called anyone else before he calls me on horns.
So, well, look at that.
Thank you, Anthony.
Well, that's how amazing that is to even be. Now, how did you and Anthony even connect and everything?
Anthony grew up with one of my cousins, and so they were best friends growing up. And my cousins basically would just tell him, you gotta hear Adrian play. And he saw me play a few times when I was a kid, like when I was probably a teenager. And then when he was doing his tour in like 2006, he needed a horn player, so he called.
How blessed is that in the connections that we have? So I know that, as you just mentioned, your cousin was good friends or made that connection. Mm-hmm. Then I know that, I believe it was like your first attorney.
Yes.
It was who was amazing to you, rest in peace. And
wow, how do you know all this? You like that, what's that person, Nardwar?
He did not believe me when I told him I am a fan.
Wow, how do you know about Kenton?
Look, I'm a fan. I tell you, I'm a fan. Yeah.
So Kenton Edlin was my attorney from the time I was 14 until he passed away last year. Right around Christmas Eve, he passed away.
Oh my goodness.
He had multiple strokes. But this was my first attorney. He took me in. He was a sports attorney first. And I met him also through one of my cousins.
Yeah, that's awesome, because they was NBA.
George Lynch, basketball player, now coach. He was George's attorney. And so he took me on and he looked out for me and he took me on my first trips to Los Angeles to record and things like that. So, and he was the one that always made sure I had a contract and knew what it said and did all the right steps. So very, very appreciative of him and always, always be gracious of that.
That, again, it's who you have in your space.
I've had a lot of great people in my corner.
That is so blessed.
Yes.
Now, speaking of blessed, I do want to clarify, because somebody asked me earlier, was he related to, they was like, oh, I know him, he's related to the gospel singers. I said, you're not talking about Andre Crouch.
Crouch.
No.
No.
This is not Andre Crouch. This is a...
Crutchfield. Not Crouchfield. Crutchfield. Like a crutch. Like, yeah.
You don't play gospel. Do you play any gospel music on your sax?
I do. So, sometimes. I don't particularly do it on my show, but I play gospel. I've been touring with Jonathan Butler, so we play a lot of Fall in Love with Jesus. I've had some experiences playing with a lot of people. John P. Key. Who else? I can't even think of anybody right now. But yeah, I play gospel.
Y'all just do not know how wonderful this and amazing this man is. Now, do you also play straight sax?
Like soprano sax? Or what do you mean?
You're the
saxophone. The one like Kenny G?
Yeah, the long one that looks like a clarinet.
It's out there, I got one out there. The one that looks like a clarinet, yeah.
Yeah, it's the long one. Isn't that straight, like it's a straight line?
Most of the time they are, sometimes they're curved. But yes, the one that Kenny G plays is straight.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about, the long, because I know the traditional curved one. And I got into a lot of jazz. Number one, Kenny G, I'm from Seattle. Mm-hmm. So the only thing was that he was a Quaker. I was an Eagle.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a Franklin Quaker. Yeah, not Quaker like that, meaning the high school he went to was Franklin High School, and they were the Franklin Quakers.
Right.
I went to Cleveland High School, and we're the Eagles. Other than that,
yeah,
you know, he's still my boo, he's still my bae. Mm-hmm. He wasn't rival schools or anything like that, so we're good in that area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love Kenny.
Amazing. So tell me, we talked about relationships and being away from your family and how you are away at least like 2.5 weeks out of the year.
Out of the month.
Yes, out of the month. Mm-hmm. That can seem like, although you're doing your dream and living your dream, and it may be fun, but also, is it isolating?
Sometimes, but I'm an introvert. So it kind of comes natural for me. All of this is actually what
brings you out?
Well, no, this is all the stuff that makes me nervous and uncomfortable. Like doing
interviews or performing?
Performing, yeah. Not just performing, being the front man.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't even come out of it for that?
I do, but it's, how do I explain it? Some people love the spotlight, per se. Some people want to be the star. I never really wanted to be the star. I like being the supporting role. So I like playing in people's bands. I like being in Anthony's band.
Yeah.
I liked being in Prince's band. I like being on stage with Jonathan Butler. Being the front man for a show is what makes me nervous or uncomfortable every time. But I know I have to do it to build consistency. So that's why I do it.
Absolutely.
I love playing music. I love writing music. I love performing. But being the center of attention is weird.
It makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can
see that. Well, I would love to continue this conversation and get in a little bit more about some of the mental health aspects of like being isolating or how you're being without family and things of that nature. But I do want to respect your time. I know that you gotta go and woo these ladies.
Yeah.
And probably even some gentlemen.
Well, that just means we had to do a to be continued.
So we definitely do got to do a.
Did you say that some of the gentlemen?
Well, I'm assuming most times people don't, the women, they may not always come by themselves. The man has brought them. So
well,
that's what I was speaking of.
That's fine.
Not and the other gentlemen.
Well, the other gentlemen can come too.
Well, I'm not of course they're going to be here.
They can come. They
but I'm sure it's not your intention to be wooing them because we are what?
Well, if they want to be wooed, they can be wooed. They just stay over there. I woo.
Get wooed by your boo.
Yeah. I'll play to them too. I'm just, you know.
We play to everybody.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, good sax is for everybody.
Good sax is for everybody. So again, you got to come back since you're right here in Charlotte, not too far away. We're going to have you back on when you're in town in about, you know, in about a week and a half that I may have to work within that month and you're not touring. And we're definitely, so tell everybody, I know you have, what, two albums out? Do you have more than?
I have three albums. Not so technically, I have four. So
I know about Lovers and Leap.
Lover and Leap. My first album is called Private Party, which I released when I got out of college.
Okay.
And I have an unofficial Christmas album called For You on Christmas that I don't really sell online. I only sell it at shows during the holidays. So that's the one.
Y'all make sure, again, y'all can follow him and on all social media platforms and go to his website to get all of his merch. Tell us again where everyone can follow you.
If you're on Instagram, it's real easy. It's just at Real Good Sax, right? That's the easiest one. For websites, adriancrutchfield.com or ilovegoodsax.com.
I love good sax.
All night.
Well, I know there's so many people out here waiting for you, so we will not hold you up any longer. But once again, thank you, my
thank
love.
You. We're going to do this again.
Definitely. All right.